Good morning. Welcome to worship at Little Sahara Church of the Brethren. It's a joy to see your smiling faces. And wasn't it a joy to see some blue in the sky and some sunshine today? It was very pretty. Yesterday, being Saturday, I had much more time to be outside, and there was more gloom than beauty yesterday. Guess you got to look for it. I have an announcement here. The dates for making chow chow have changed to Tuesday, September 24th, and Wednesday, October 2nd. We start at 8 a.m., and any help will be appreciated. So come out and help make chow chow. Other announcements for this morning? I don't see any coming. We're supposed to sign the registry of attendance. I need to remind myself of that sometimes, so please sign the registry of attendance and review your bulletin for other announcements. So the time for the call to worship, please join in the call to worship. Stand. Thank you. Lord, we have been blessed with so much, and yet we're not always content. Help us, Lord, to want more of you. A mighty fortress. What number is it? 165.
So this morning we're going to try something new. It's called Sacred Silence. And what I want us to do in that Sacred Silence is realize that this is a new day. Yesterday is in the past. We don't know what's ahead of us. So we want to focus on the here and now. So take a few moments of Sacred Silence and center yourselves before the Lord, recognizing who He is as a holy and righteous God, and recognizing you in your place where you are right now in life, just seeking Him as you center on what His will is for your life this day. It's difficult for us to find times of silence. We live in a very busy world. We live in a world filled with so many noises. But Lord, we have taken pause and we have centered on who you are, what you mean to us, what you've done for us, and Lord, what you're going to do through us. So we ask you now, Lord, to just take our hearts, that you would transform them, that you would use our hearts to be able to mold into the likeness of your Son, Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord, for the way that you give us opportunities, new opportunities each day. And we pray that we would be Jesus to someone, even today. And we thank you, Lord, for having your way with us as we surrender and let go. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. We do want to invite you at this time, if you have any joys or concerns, simply put your hand in the air and we'd be glad to bring a microphone to you. And I'll listen for your voice. I have glasses on, which I can see very nearsighted with, but all the way in the back, I don't even know who's back there. So I'm welcome and we're glad you're here this morning, and be willing to share joys and concerns. It's a beautiful thing here in the life of the church.
I have a combination of a joy and a concern. The joy is that the family we prayed for, the Patey family, earlier this week, they had a good outcome this week. Their daughter, Sarah, is gonna be okay. But a lot of families don't get the joy. Just gonna say that we need to be aware of the people around us. We need to make eye contact. We need to let them know we see them. We see them in their struggles, and that we love them, and that we will be there for them.
Would you pray with me? Lord, you know what we're dealing with in this very hour. You know how our heart aches, how our heart longs for your comfort, for your peace. Some of us, Lord, have faced loss. We know what it feels like to lose a loved one. We know what it feels like to mourn and to grieve. And today, Lord, we just reach out to you. We know you are the God of comfort. And we ask, Lord, that you would just comfort our hearts, comfort our minds, comfort our souls. But Lord, also in that process of being given comfort, help us to be mindful of being there for others, bringing comfort to others in their hour of need. Lord, we confess we don't know what's happening in the lives of others. And as we do pass by, may we smile. May we be willing to stop and talk and share life together. For we do not always know what's happening in someone's life. And if we could be someone's saving grace, Lord, we pray that it would be so. But Lord, just help us to be aware and to be mindful. And thank you, Lord, for the way that you move in our lives. We know that there's a joy from first service with Tim finding a place to live. And we just thank you for the patience that you gave to Tim. And even in those times of frustration, Lord, you were still with him. And we just thank you for hearing our prayers and bringing joy to Tim's life and to Lois's life as well. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather here to worship you, to know you more, to be able to experience life together, to be able to live this reality that you long for us to be Jesus. to others, but we fail. We fall short. We say things we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't do. And we just confess that this morning, Lord. We know that the cross offers us forgiveness, and we just want to take those things and apologize and say we're sorry, but lay them down at the cross and let them there, Lord, and help us, Lord, through the Holy Spirit not to return to them. So, Lord, we do take pause now to just ask for that forgiveness, to repent, to confess. But, Lord, not just to each week say that I'm sorry, but to turn from those sins. And, Lord, we pray that you would guide us away from those. So here are our prayers of confession. Lord, we just thank you for the cross. We thank you for that we can be free from what keeps us in bondage. But Lord, there must be a choice on our part, a willingness on our part to let go, to surrender, to say, no, I'm not willing to do those things any longer, because we know that it's the enemy at work. So Lord, we just pray for just total peace in our lives, that we would be free from any sin that we struggle with. And Lord, we just want to lift up, especially this morning, the Bryant family, Lord, Daniel in particular. In just a few weeks, he'll undergo a procedure. And Lord, you know the results those doctors are looking for. And we pray specifically for Daniel that you would just give him the comfort, the peace that he needs as he enters into that procedure. But Lord, as those probes are inserted, Lord, we pray that they would interact with his seizures, that they would have the right seizures, that they can find the precise location of what's happening. And we just thank you for Daniel. We thank you for Greg. We thank you for Sarah. We thank you for Lauren, and pray your abundant blessings over them. Just hold them tight, Lord, during these next few weeks and as they enter into this time of finding resolution. And we just trust you, Lord, for resolution. But Lord, we also trust you and know that you have healed. And we pray, if it be thy will, Lord, you would just touch Daniel and you would just heal him and free him from those seizures in the powerful name of Jesus, our Lord. You know, Lord, again, what we're dealing with right now, and we have given that to you. We have surrendered it to you, and we're asking you to help us to cope, to be able to deal with the situations we find ourselves in. I pray that you would give us peace where we need peace. I pray you would give us understanding where we need understanding. I pray that you would restore our joy, Lord, that you would bring newness to our lives, that we would be able to experience you each day in a powerful way, knowing that it's you moving in and through us. So thank you, Lord, for the way in which you do move, and we just allow what it is that you would want our hearts to form, to be formed into that likeness. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For our offertory thought, I found it a little challenging this week. I like to try and to work with the scripture of the day, and this is a very challenging scripture. So thanks, Matt, for giving us a big challenging scripture to work with. I have two verses that came to mind this morning. Proverbs 3:27, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Our giving is an expression of our love and commitment to God. Let us give joyfully to our loving and just God. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, we bring you our offerings to you as a gift of worship in thankfulness for all that you have poured out for us. We pray that you would teach us how to be loving and just as you are, so that we may bring you honor and glory in all that we do. Amen.
Please join me up front this morning. That would be, got a children's story going on here. Lots of smiling faces here this morning. Well, some are anyway. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today? Everybody enjoying the sunshine out there after all the rain yesterday? I know I am. All right, so I got a question for you all this morning. Here goes. How many of you like to browse the toy aisle when mom and dad go shopping?
What?
When mom and dad go shopping at the store, how many like to visit the toy aisle? Now let me ask you this, how many of you want to go grab the nearest shopping cart and load it full and run on out of there? Oh, all right, at least you're being honest. Let me tell you something. It's not only a struggle for the kids. The adults are right there with you. We end up in the clothing stores and the cell phone stores and the shoes and the... Oh, boy. Yeah, it gets to be really something to think about. But yeah, I'm sure you see things that you'd love to have, you know. And how about at home? Do you have toys at home you like to play with and books to read? I'm sure that you do. Sometimes we get that thing that we wanted. Could be one thing or several things. We got birthdays and Christmas that rolls around. But I bet you one thing has happened to you all that's it's rather disappointing, and it does happen. Sometimes we get these things that we wanted and they get lost or even broken. And then we're so disappointed. But we have so many other things to make up the difference. Oh my. Yeah, I know. And then sometimes we have so much stuff that we dig out and play with that, oh, now it's time to put it all away. That's not so much fun. But then next thing you know, you have all these things, and then, oh, there's the next best thing when those TV ads come on. Oh, what could we? Yeah, I know. Well, we'll keep rolling along here. We have toys that we like to play with and books to read and even friends and siblings to play with. But sometimes we still aren't happy with these things that we have. We want that next new great toy and this next new great thing. Oh, I gotta have it, everybody else has got it. You know, the next great gaming system. Oh, I got something to show you all this morning. Oh, have you ever heard the grown-ups in your life talk about the things they played with? Maybe, how about some old games? Did anybody ever hear of marbles here? Or an Etch-a-Sketch that didn't have little buttons? Okay, oh good, we have some people, oh good, all right. Well, I have a little something to share this morning from my childhood. Even Olivia has never seen it. It hasn't seen the light of day in many years. As a matter of fact, this made its debut, oh boy, 30 years ago this year. Who here knows what it's called? Uh-oh, I think I saw LJ's hand. What is it called? It is a Game Boy. And this is what started it all with the handheld playing devices. Let me tell you, when I got my hands on one of these guys, it's like, wow, I want to have one of those. You know what, though? A couple Christmases later, it showed up under the tree. And several portable gaming sessions later and a couple of devices later, I have something called a cell phone. And let me tell you something, it's a long way from one of these things. But you want to know something? I can still put batteries in this thing, and I can still play it 30 years later. Yes. Now, I'm not going to disappoint y'all, but sorry, no batteries. We're not here to game this morning. But I wanted to show you this, what we call a relic now, as a reminder of these things that we accumulate over the years. Okay? Now, we're going to keep rolling along here. But when I was a kid, I received that as a Christmas present, and it's one of the very few things that I still have yet that I've accumulated over the years. But anyway, I've heard old family members talk about some of these old games, even paper dolls. Can you imagine that, making a doll out of cardboard or paper? Wow, that's mind-blowing. Oh, we can talk a little more about that later. But, you know, this stuff might be fun for a while, but you know what? We probably get tired of it after a while, and it's true. So let's think back some more about, now here's one for you. Have any of you ever heard the story of baby Jesus? I bet you all have. Now, did any of you ever wonder between the age of maybe 3 or 4 and 12, what did Jesus have to play with back when he was a kid? That's a really good question, isn't it? Did Jesus have a Game Boy?
No.
Did Jesus have paper dolls or marbles to play with?
No,
he would have never had any of those things. But what did Jesus' dad do for a job? Does anybody remember what Joseph did? Go ahead.
Wasn't he a carpenter?
Okay, so if he was a carpenter, what would he have laying around the house possibly he might have been working with? Go ahead, LJ. What was that?
Tools.
Wood. Now, you're saying these things, and it's true. These things may have been around, and a lawyer today would think of these things and go, oh my gosh, there's tools, there's wood splinters, there's... But yeah, I'm willing to bet that Jesus probably took some of those wood scraps from Joseph's shop
and made maybe toys. Maybe he made little houses or huts or anything. Who knows? Maybe he played in the sawdust and made little piles out of them. Who knows? But it's just something fun to think about.
Maybe he took some of the straw and made it into something.
He might have. Some of us could play and play with these items for a long time. You know what? Who hasn't played with a, well, myself personally, I know I could play with a box for hours, and not necessarily the toy that came in it. But irregardless, you know, sometimes you get, you know, you play with these items for a long time. Others would get bored, especially when you think about the toys we play with and all these things. A few years ago, Sarah and I had the good fortune of traveling to Honduras to visit her sister in a children's home. Kids that were your age, okay? All right, they were your age. And there was about 80 kids in there, okay? And they only had 40 bicycles for 80 children. Well, wait a minute here. Anybody that can do some math, that's only half. So what in the world could those kids have done? Yes, they had to share, right. So that must have been a little difficult for some of those workers to have to divvy the time out.
And I guess, and that means that every single kid would have a best friend, right?
Yeah, they would have had to make friends because they would have had to divvy up that time. But the thing of it is, what I'm getting at is, we even saw some kids playing with some broken stroller handles and things. They hardly had anything to play with at all, but you know what? What they did have, they made the most of. So what I'm getting at is we should be grateful for the few things we do have. Whether we have a lot or just a few things, we are a country of plentiful things. And one of the hardest things is to kind of put a, I don't want to say draw a line in the sand, but just be grateful for the things you do have and be careful about the things you do want and try to keep a harness. Now, that's a big word, I know, but it's a tough thing. It's a tough struggle. So anyway, let's see here. Do you remember Christmas helping to... Okay, here's one. Okay, do you remember, it may have been a year or two ago, we packed some boxes up to send off around the world. Do you all remember, and does anybody here remember what that was called or what we did there? What was it? Go ahead.
Operation Christmas Child.
That's it. Yeah, okay. And what kind of things did we put in there?
Toys, like blankets, pillows.
Yeah, we put different things in there for the kids around the world. Just little small items that we take for granted every day that you wouldn't even think twice about. But you know what? I bet it made a world of difference to somebody else. And that's really something to think about. So we have to be careful about wanting different toys and books and clothes when we already have a house full of these things. And don't be fooled, the adults have these struggles too. So I can testify to that firsthand. Oh, it's a tough day to go through and I don't need this anymore. All right, we often want things, but we don't need them. There's a big difference between wants and needs. Like we need food, but there's a lot of things we may want to have, but what do you do with all this stuff at some point, you know? So in conclusion, we should... Okay, go ahead, one more thing.
I have an idea. If stuff we don't want, we can donate to people that don't have a lot, like to Africa.
Yeah, you're right, we could do more things like that. And I'll tell you what, one thing that we've done in our homestead is we've taken some of these things and donated to the Salvation Army, the Goodwill store, for other children to have an opportunity to play with these things that we may not want anymore. That's a possibility too. But the bottom line is we should trust Jesus to provide for our needs. Oh, that's, yeah, okay. And be thankful for the things that we received and be thankful for the things that we do have. And think twice maybe a little bit about some of the things that people tell us that we need, but do we really need them? All right, kids. I'd like to thank you for joining me this morning. And we can say a little prayer and then we'll be on our way. All right, dear God, we give thanks for the beautiful sunshine, first of all. And we give thanks for all of these blessings you provided. And we just wanna ask that we don't ever wanna seem ungrateful for these things. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you for joining me this morning.
Would you pray with me? Lord, what we're about to experience together through your scripture is a matter of the heart. And we, Lord, we know our hearts are difficult to change. We become set in our ways. We have things that we always do. We have things that we're totally used to. But today, Lord, we're going to look at wealth and being rich and what that means and how wealthy we truly are in this country. And we just want to consider what it means for our hearts to be in tune with those that are in need. So, Lord, if our hearts need changed, if our hearts need transformed, I pray that your word would speak to it and allow it to do so. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. The following prayer was found in the book Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. It reads, "Dear Lord, I keep reading the story of the rich young ruler and his obviously wrong choice. But it has me thinking, no matter how much wealth he had, he could not ride in a car, he couldn't have surgery, turn on a light, buy penicillin, hear an organ, watch TV, wash dishes in running water, type a letter, mow a lawn, fly in an airplane, sleep on a mattress, or even talk on the phone. Lord, if he was rich, then what am I?" Ironically, from the standpoint of material wealth, Americans have difficulty realizing how rich they are. Imagine for a moment taking all the furniture out of our home, except for one table and a few chairs, and we're using blankets and pads to sleep on. Take away all our clothing except our oldest dress or suit, shirt or blouse, and leave only one pair of shoes. Now I can hear us mumbling under our breath already, but wait, Pastor, I have an outfit for every single day and shoes to match. I can't do this. But then, empty the pantry and the refrigerator, except for a small bag of flour, some sugar and salt, a few potatoes, some onions, and a dish of dried beans. You know, go ahead and dismantle the bathroom, shut off the running water, and remove all the electricity in your home. By now, if you weren't out, you're probably out by now. The greatest complaint we hear of people on mission trips is, "There's no running water. I don't have hot water, let alone electricity to charge my cell phone." But now, friends, it gets even more intense. Take away the house itself and move in to your shed. Place your house into a village. Cancel all subscriptions to newspapers and magazines because now you can't read anyway. Move the nearest hospital, the nearest clinic, 10 miles or more away, and put a midwife in place of a doctor. Throw away your checkbooks, your stock certificates, your pension plans, your insurance policies, and leave the family a cash amount of a few dollars. Now, if you're the head of the family, you'll get a few acres to cultivate on which you can raise a few hundred dollars of cash crops. But be mindful, one third of those crops go to the landlord and one tenth to the money lenders. And now, friends, take away 25 or more years of your life expectancy. The reality is, this is what it's like for the majority of the world population. It seems rather obvious that God has blessed us with so much. Amen? But what we must come to terms with, where our hearts may need to change this morning, is that in those blessings, God is calling us to bless others. So the first question we ask ourselves is, how are we doing? When is the last time you gave to someone in need? And I can look around this congregation, I see a tremendous amount of caring hearts, and I'm very thankful for that. But what about the average American? Listen to what experts are telling us. Charitable giving is an incredibly personal choice. It's what you feel like you can afford, how much a particular cause or charity means to you, how deeply affected you are by something, and how much you want to help, and what you feel your responsibility to that community is. Doesn't sound like what Jesus would say, who would say, to whom much is given, much will be required. In other words, as Uncle Ben's words of wisdom to Peter Parker in Spider-Man says, with great power comes great responsibility. With our wealth comes obligation to use it wisely, to not be wasteful, and to help others. Jesus went on and said, "Blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven." In both the Old and the New Testaments, we see God's desire for his children to show compassion to the poor and to the needy. Jesus said the poor will always be with us. He also said those who show mercy to the poor, to the sick, and to the needy are in effect ministering to him personally, and they will be rewarded accordingly. Friends, there's no doubt that poverty reaches both widespread and locally, and it's devastating. But the time is here, the time is now, that God's people cannot be indifferent to those in need. We see it throughout Scripture. Consider the words about the goodness of King Josiah in Jeremiah 22:16. He defended the cause of the poor and needy, and so all went well. Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord? Now, I have a feeling, looking around the congregation this morning, there are many among us who want to know the Lord more. If so, say amen. Well, right here it is, friends. It can't be any clearer. Moses even instructed his people how to treat the poor and needy. He said, give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. The idea is captured perfectly in Proverbs 14:31. Whoever is kind to the needy honors God. It doesn't get any better than 1 John. If anyone has material possessions, sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, guess what it goes on to say? How can the love of God be in him? 1 John 3:17 to 19, it continues, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and in truth." We've been talking about this for so long now, we shouldn't even need to be able to look at the canvas. But what does it say? Walk the talk. And by now, we've been several weeks in. The second question to ask ourselves is, how are we doing walking the talk? It's hard not to forget the sheep and the goats, where Christ divides them to the left and to the right. Remember, the sheep knew how to walk the talk. They cared for the poor, the sick, the imprisoned, the vulnerable. The goats, on the other hand, lacked any concern. So friends, if you've never listened to a word of my sermon before, let what Christ is about to say sink in. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. It's all about transformation. It's all about evidence of our faith, doing the good works we were crafted to do, which God prepared in advance. You see, friends, we can't measure wealth by the things we have, but by the things that we have that didn't cost us anything. Now that begs the question, what does that even leave us? And the answer boils down to relationship. Every single relationship we have is a blessing. But take away every relationship with those in the flesh, and we still, friends, have the greatest blessing in the world, a relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ our Lord, a Lord who forgives us our sin, who loves us more than we can begin to imagine, and who legitimately If you want to call someone your BFF, Jesus could be your BFF. Yet somehow, amidst this world we live in, there's this new iPhone that's out that has this incredible pet feature that costs $1,100. The latest gaming system, the games that go with it, the newest style in clothing and shoes, the upgrades we need to cars, to homes, and somehow with all these things, we still want more. Guess who's at work? The same person who tries to keep us busy. If he's not going to keep us busy, he's going to let us wanting more. And if he can keep us wanting more, he knows the weakness within us. Because in our busyness, in our wanting more, we'll forget about what Jesus says. But friends, how is it in other parts of the world where they have nothing, Jesus is enough? How is it that these people know that he'll provide? They know that Jesus will satisfy. And many of us here in this place know what that looks like. We depend on Jesus to meet our needs. But imagine everything taken away from us but what we heard in the beginning of the sermon. Would we still believe? Would we still trust? Now we can argue this morning, access, that we have been blessed to live where we live. But there's choice. Friends, we always have a choice of what we need and what we want. So James, in a familiar mindset, writes these words in chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. I'm not going to have us stand and read them together, but I want us to listen. They hit the heart in a rather incredible way, and they make us think in a different perspective. So James 5, 1 to 6. Listen in, if you would. Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvester have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. Friends, the first thing we need to decide is whether this letter is written to all rich people everywhere, to rich people in that time and place, or is it written only to the rich people who were guilty of exploitation? However, the more important question becomes, where do we go from here? James, if you didn't notice, really let these people have it. And let's be honest, it's one way or another making us feel a bit uncomfortable. And you know, if we can dodge this barrage, we would want to. We want to say it's their problem, it's not ours. And most of us don't really think of ourselves as rich, do we? We're always looking at someone else who has more. And we say, go after them. They're the problem. But friends, whenever we come to Scripture, we want to see what's there for us. God is longing to speak to us, and we need to be ready to listen, even if it means being uncomfortable. So the third question becomes, how does God want us to use our resources? Francis Chan gets us off on the right track when he says, let's look at our hearts and go, why long for these earthly things so much? And why am I acquiring more and more for myself and neglecting those who are in need? In these first six verses of James chapter 5, we learn very quickly what God cares about. And we learn very quickly what can make him angry. You see, when rich people exploit poor people, that becomes a major problem. Soon enough, we'll learn God is going to turn the tables in his coming kingdom. And maybe we'll be weeping and howling a little more about the injustice in our world. Friends, can we just do this? Do what we can with what we have, and certainly do what we can to help the poor. James has been saying this all along, but here's the thing, and he wants to hit this home for us today. It starts with our heart. If you're anything like the majority of the population, we find it rather difficult to admit how important money really is in our lives. But the fourth question we must ask ourselves, is it more important to us than God? Think about that. How many of our decisions are based on the bottom line rather than the higher calling? It becomes a battle for each of us to break that bondage of money in our lives. We ask ourselves, how can we center our hearts on God rather than on wealth? What can we do? I invite us, if you're able, to learn more about exploitation in our world, and then turn to our Heavenly Father and ask, what is it you would have me do personally to help those in need? Pray about your household budget. Spend time seeking God and seeing what His spiritual priorities truly are. But first, more than anything, come to grip with this fact. Nothing that we have is ours. We might have earned it, but everything belongs to God. He's given us our talents. He's given us our abilities to do what we do and earn what we earn. So friends, when we begin this week, might we start to live like we know what this means? Might we start to walk the talk with our hearts in check? Would you pray with me? Lord, you know where our hearts are in this moment. You know how money affects our lives. You know how we stress over it. You know how it consumes us each week, and when the bill comes in, it becomes worrisome. But Lord, we're asking you to take us out of our comfort zone, to be able to realize where our priorities should be when it comes to the wealth that we have. And we know, Lord, that you have blessed us with so much, and you're longing for us to bless others. What does that look like for each of us this morning? I pray that your word would land upon our hearts and that you would begin a change, a transformation, a movement towards helping those in need, something which many of us do well already. But Lord, may we be challenged this week to consider the importance of money in our lives. And if it's more important than you, God, I pray you would change our hearts and replace you with that longing to have more. And we praise you in the precious name of Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen.
Thank you.
We follow Christ who says, take up your cross. We follow Christ who bids us come and die. We follow Christ who summons us to new life. The one who calls is faithful and will keep us. May it be so in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.